And welcome back to another edition of Shedding Light here on KZSU. Every Monday from 1 to 2, I'm your host, Bird, and trying to shed some light on different subjects that might be important to any one of us. And today, the first half hour, we're going to dedicate to the plight of marine mammals. And we have one of the foremost experts in that field on the phone with us right now, Mark J. Palmer, the director of the International Marine Mammal Project, as part of the Earth Island Institute. Did I get that right, Mark?
Associate director, actually.
Okay. Associate director of the International Marine Mammal Project and part of the Earth Island Institute, correct?
That's correct.
All right. You've been on the show a couple of months ago. We spoke, and it was concerning this movie that had just come out, The Cove, about a particular cove in Taiji, Japan, where they'd been murdering dolphins, and they did it in secret, and a group of activists got together and filmed the actual murder of these dolphins. And why don't you speak a little bit about the movie and about your work and your association with that?
Well, basically, The Cove outlines the work we've been doing, our campaign for Earth Island Institute and our coalition, which is the Save Japan Dolphins Coalition, to stop the slaughter of dolphins in Taiji and in Japan itself. There, it has the largest kill of dolphins of any nation in the world these days. And because of that, we've been focused on them, and in particular on the Taiji kill, because it is a truly horrendous type of activity. We're talking about hundreds of dolphins harpooned and slaughtered and in the worst possible way imaginable. It's really quite a horror show, and the Cove movie documented that, as well as many of the politics around it, as well as using the cove itself as an analogy for greater and larger environmental issues such as contamination and pollution of dolphin meat with mercury, which parallels some of the problems Japan has had in the past with Minamata disease. It also talks about overfishing and other sorts of issues. So The Cove is really quite a fascinating documentary, and many people I know have seen it. It just got on the short list of 15 documentaries that are going to be considered for an Academy Award. So as you can imagine, there's a lot of Oscar buzz, and the makers of the movie are quite excited, as are we, with that prospect of the possibility of becoming nominated for Best Documentary at the Academy Awards next year.
That's great. And why do the Japanese want to murder dolphins?
Essentially, what we think it boils down to, basically they're killing the dolphins for meat, although there is a dirty little secret in that a lot of the aquariums around the world obtain dolphins from the drive hunt. And because they pay so much more for a live dolphin that has been trained in captivity, than you would get for a dolphin for its meat. A dolphin for its meat is only about $400 to $600 on the meat market in Japan, as opposed to a live dolphin, which is up to $150,000 on the international live trafficking of these dolphins. So there's certainly a monetary interest of the local fishermen. But what we think is really going on is that the Japan Fisheries Agency, which is a very powerful political agency in Japan, is trying to maintain their worldwide fishing empire. Japan is the largest importer of fish in the world. About 80% of the protein eaten by Japanese people comes from fish. And they seem to feel that if they lose whaling, despite the fact that really very few people eat whale meat in Japan, and as the Cove demonstrates, a lot of the dolphin meat is contaminated with mercury and therefore dangerous to eat and to be sold on the market in Japan. Nonetheless, the Fisheries Agency is pushing whaling and even subsidizing whaling and the killing of dolphins in order to maintain this facade that they have against doing anything that might jeopardize other fish. They're sort of domino principle, if you will, that if they lose whaling to international environmentalists, that they're going to lose tuna fishing, or they're going to lose some of the other fishing operations they work around the world.
And there is a kind of a, I don't know if it's a governing body, but the International Whaling Commission has a big part to play in this, don't they?
To a certain extent. Again, with respect to whales, Japan has really tied the International Whaling Commission up in knots by actually bribing small third world countries that don't have a whaling past to join the International Whaling Commission and vote in favor of whaling, all again of which is documented in the Cove movie. With regard to dolphins, Japan and other countries have blocked the consideration by the International Whaling Commission of small cetaceans. They are only supposed to look at larger whales, such as sperm whales and blue whales and those kind of species. But with regard to the smaller dolphins, they're not regulated by the International Whaling Commission, and Japan has seen to it that whenever such a proposal comes before the International Whaling Commission, it gets voted down. So it is a situation where it's basically up to the Japanese themselves as to whether they're going to continue this hunt. However, the Japanese people themselves don't even know that the hunt is occurring, which is why the cove is so important. Internationally, it's important for generating opposition. But internal in Japan, we're now just starting to show it there, and the reaction from ordinary Japanese people is shock and dismay that this is going on within their country.
We talked before the show today for a little pre-interview, and you mentioned that 3 weeks ago, or thereabouts, the movie The Cove was shown at the Tokyo Film Festival.
Right, the International Tokyo Film Festival. It originally was submitted to them, and we were told sub rosa by some of the people involved that it was too politically hot for the International Festival to show in Tokyo. But thanks to some friends such as Ben Stiller and others in Hollywood who went to bat for us, the International Film Festival backed down and allowed it to be shown to the public for the first time in Japan a few weeks ago. And it was a full house and a lot of interesting people.
You were there?
The mayor of Taiji and some of the people in the film itself. And it apparently went over, as I say, very well, in the sense that a lot of the Japanese people there, the ordinary Japanese people who had bought tickets, had no idea this was going on and were shocked by it.
We're talking to Mark J. Palmer, the Associate Director of the International Marine Mammal Project of the Earth Island Institute, and the part of the driving force to not only save Japan dolphins, but to help out marine mammals around the world. And Mark, let's talk a little bit about the main character in the movie, Rick O'Berry. He was the first trainer of, well, he was the trainer of the first dolphin on TV, Flipper. And he had a real close tie to that whole marine mammal thing, as far as he was one of the first folks to train the dolphins and have them in captivity and got real close to the dolphins, right?
Right, exactly. There were five dolphins, actually, that were used in the film, in the TV series, for 5 years, called Flipper, and he trained them all, and actually the house that is part of the film it was his house. He actually lived there year-round in order to take care of Flipper and the various dolphins that played Flipper in the little saltwater lake that was there off the dock of the Flipper house.
He tells his story in the movie, and somewhere along the way, after one of his favorite flippers died in his arms, he had an epiphany that what he had helped start, the capture of dolphins and the training for the entertainment of people, was completely wrong. And he explains this in the movie, and through that, you get a real feeling for what this whole thing has grown up to. And you mentioned that these dolphins are initially trapped to try to sell them to aquariums, right?
That's correct. And they're taken by the Taiji Whale Museum, which is an aquarium right next to the Killing Cove. It's a pretty obnoxious situation with regard to the aquarium industry that they allow this to continue. The Taiji Whale Museum is part of the Japanese Association of Zoos and Aquariums called JAZA, which in itself is a part of the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums, or WAZA. WASA is based in Geneva, Switzerland, and we've been urging them to take sanctions against those aquariums around the world that are getting their dolphins from the slaughtered animals. And many aquariums have been getting them for years from Taiji and similar dry fisheries around the world. And so far, WASA has not taken any action. They've condemned in a statement the actual dry fisheries, but they haven't taken any action against their own members who are ignoring their statement.
Has WASA seen the film?
That's a good question. Yeah, there have been representatives of WASA and aquariums certainly who have seen the film around the world. I don't know that they've received it themselves in Switzerland. We do have a copy of The Cove coming out in DVD in December, so that would be a good time for us to provide copies then to WASA in Switzerland and to some of their affiliates and continuing to step up the pressure. But it's going to take public pressure. They're basically dodging the issue, and it's going to take the public contacting WASA, which people can do through our website, in order to put some pressure on them to take action.
And what is your website?
This is SaveJapanDolphins, dolphins plural, .org.
Okay. And Mark Palmer, speak a little bit about how you got involved in this work. How did you become the Associate Director of the International Marine Mammal Project of the Earth Island Institute?
Well, I've been working on wildlife issues and endangered species and marine mammals for years. I was a student at UC Berkeley and started up an endangered species committee on campus back in 1971-72. And was involved from the beginning with some of the issues, such as the passage of the Marine Mammal Protection Act in 1972, which includes concerns for whales and the tuna dolphin issue, as well as the last whaling station, which was in Richmond, California, and was operating until it was shut down in 1972 by the Interior Department. So I've been following it for quite a while and went to work full-time. I helped set up the Dolphin Safe Program for tuna back in 1987 and 1990 with some of the principals at Earth Island Institute, and went to work with them full-time in 1995. And as I mentioned, about 5 years ago, Rick O'Berry joined our staff, and Rick had been concerned about the need to do something in Japan to set up an ongoing campaign to help the dolphins in Japan and to really put pressure on Japan to stop the slaughter. And we've been working on it tooth and nail for the last 5 years, and we're really pleased that the Oceanic Preservation Society and Luis Cihoyos came out with this incredible movie, The Cove, that talks about our work and certainly advances our work substantially. They provided a Japanese version of The Cove in DVD that we have now that's dubbed into Japanese. And Rick and I, after the Thanksgiving holiday, sometime in December, are going to run over to Japan with some other folks with the Japan Save Japan Dolphins Coalition and screen The Cove at various places in Japan. As I mentioned, it's just started being shown to the public for the first time at the Tokyo International Film Festival about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we're now in a position where we've got a good copy to show to the rest of the public. We'll also have copies for government officials. There is a new government in Japan for the first time since World War II, and that government has, in September, threw out the old party that had been running Japan for many, many years, and there is some hope. They are oriented towards the environment. They're opposed to subsidies for some of these bloated bureaucratic projects like the whaling industry. And we're hopeful that they will take action to protect the public health of Japan and stop the slaughter of dolphins and whales.
Mark J. Palmer, our guest for this half hour, Associate Director of the International Marine Mammal Project of the Earth Island Institute. So it was you we have to partially thank for trying to get the dolphins out of tuna?
Absolutely. A lot of good people at Earth Island Institute, David Phillips and Todd Steiner, and, of course, Sam Labuddy. I have to mention Sam. He was the one who went out on a tuna boat in 1988 and actually filmed the dolphin slaughter by the tuna fishing industry, which got on national news. And so the tuna industry in the United States has become dolphin safe, and on every can of tuna you'll find a dolphin safe logo. We still have some dolphin deadly tuna coming in from Mexico, and we're hopeful that at some point Mexico will get out of the dolphin killing business, but they're still drowning dolphins in tuna nets down there, unfortunately.
Hmm. And while I got you on the line, I just want to pick your brain a little bit. You've got to be one of the best authorities to talk to about this. How polluted and contaminated are our oceans?
They're badly polluted and contaminated depending on where you look, particularly in coastal areas, which you can expect. Anything that we dump on land eventually is going to wind up in the ocean, and that includes toxic materials washed off from sidewalks, such as oil, pesticides from agriculture fields and from people's lawns. All of these kinds of chemicals eventually work their way down into the ocean and are causing some serious problems in areas. I mentioned the mercury levels in dolphin meat. We're seeing some of the highest levels of contamination in dolphins and whales because they are very high up on the food chain, and these contaminants are taken up by some of the microscopic animals in the oceans, and eventually they're eaten by fish, and the small fish are eaten by bigger fish. And through a process we call biological magnification, we see these poisons concentrate higher and higher up the food chain. So we really have to take a look at some of these things we're dumping into the ocean, including some of the things that were dumped many years ago. There's a lot of mercury in San Francisco Bay and in the Sacramento-San Joaquin watershed left over from the gold mining era, when mercury was used by the early 49ers and into the 1850s and 60s and 70s to pull gold out of sediments by using mercury and quicksilver. And that pollution is still out there and still getting into our ocean system here in California. In Japan, the mercury levels are so high in dolphins and pilot whales and some of the other species they're killing that people really should not be eating it. It's dangerous. They're poisoning themselves, and they're causing themselves considerable medical trouble if they continue. So far, the health authorities have not been able in Japan to take the steps necessary because of the political clout of the Japan Fisheries Agency. So our hope is that with the Cove and with our education programs in Japan, we can get enough political support generated in Japan, especially with this new government in charge, to overcome the opposition of the Japan Fisheries Agency and put a stop to the killing of dolphins. It's not good for Japanese children who eat this meat. It's not good for the Japanese people, and it's certainly not good for the dolphins.
Mm-hmm. And would you advise anybody that was going to eat fish? What would you tell somebody that was going to eat fish, say out of the bay or out of the ocean right here in the on the west coast here outside San Francisco Bay? What would
you
tell
somebody? To a certain extent, it depends on where you're getting the fish from. Some places are highly contaminated, other places are not. The wild salmon in San Francisco Bay are pretty clean fish because they eat their food mostly out in the ocean. The same is true of Alaskan wild salmon. But, of course, we've had the salmon populations crash in California not because of overfishing or because of pollution, but because of the problems we're encountering with modification of their streams from logging, from mining, and from dams that get in the way of their migration upstream. So we have a really serious problem with salmon. But salmon, wild salmon from Alaska are good. Farm salmon are a little problematic because the food that are fed to salmons in the salmon farms can be contaminated, and that contamination can show up in the salmon as well. So farm salmon is something you might want to avoid. The older types of fish, too, bigger types of fish, which because they are so much older, they collect more pollution. So long-lived species such as sharks and swordfish are particularly problematic. Tuna also can be a problem if you're looking at some of the larger species of tuna, such as bluefin tuna, which is in the process of going commercially extinct because of the sashimi trade and sushi that goes on in Japan as well as in the United States. However, and albacore tuna is also a long-lived species, and there is a concern about mercury content in albacore tuna. But regular canned tuna, on the other hand, comes from a species called the skipjack tuna, and they're short-lived species. They don't get as big or and live as long as the other tuna species. So canned tuna tends to be, canned light meat tuna, that is, tends to be pretty good with regards to contamination problems. But again, it really varies according to what kind of risk you want to expose yourself to, as well as where the fish was caught. And there needs to be a lot better public education about this and a lot better warning labels and other sorts of efforts in order to let people know where their fish is coming from so they can make intelligent choices. And that doesn't occur, and that's a major, major issue in our food supply program is how to deal with fish that you perhaps should not be eating, either because it's not sustainable or because it has a very large contamination load of mercury or PCBs and other types of pollutants that can be dangerous when eaten in large quantities.
What do you think of the Monterey Bay Aquarium fish to eat list, fish to eat and not to eat?
That's a good start. Those kind of education programs are excellent. I have a few quibbles with some of the things they say, but generally speaking, it's a good list for people to go by, and it's free. It's online at our website, so certainly that can be a good program for people to follow when they're out buying fish or at a restaurant to take a look at that list and keep it in mind.
And you said it's free on your website. Would that be the Earth Island Institute website?
No, that's the Monterey Bay Aquarium website. It's free on their website.
Okay. And, Mark Palmer, do our oceans have a chance of surviving? Forget about eating any fish out of them. The fish that are in them and what we've done to the oceans in the last 50 to 100 years, do they have a chance, or is it have we passed a tipping point?
I think there's still a chance, and public education, of course, is growing. There are improvements that we see from time to time. We've, for example, stopped the killing of whales. I mentioned the last whaling station, for example, in San Francisco Bay in Richmond, which was closed in 1972. We now have blue whales and humpback whales off our coast here in San Francisco that you can see in Monterey Bay and out of San Francisco with whale watching trips. They've come back. They have increased in numbers and appear to be still increasing and look pretty healthy. So we can make changes, and we can take steps to protect these species and to improve things. Now, the pollution load in the oceans, we've made some major improvements, including in San Francisco Bay particularly, with human sewage. And sewage is now being processed a lot better than it ever was before. During the 1950s and 60s, you could not eat fish out of San Francisco Bay, and nowadays some of the species are coming back, and because of the improvement of the sewage systems, we're now able to eat some of the fish that come out of San Francisco Bay. But there are still toxic materials coming in, and I mentioned a lot of that is coming from dispersed sources, as we say. These are sources like runoff from agriculture and runoff from roads and highways, which are far less easy to deal with and fix. And basically take the contaminants out before they get into the ocean and our streams. So there's still major problems. Plastics is a major problem worldwide in that a lot of the plastic that winds up in the ocean stays there essentially forever, and it just breaks up into smaller and smaller pieces. And there are parts of the Pacific Ocean you can go out and you'll be sailing for days through this mass of plastics which are floating on the surface. So there are still some major issues. Obviously, we have the problem of global warming, which we're trying to solve. We have the problems of runoff and other types of pollution. And these are still yet to be solved and are part of the effort we need to make to make sure the oceans do make it. So, yes, there's positive things happening. Yes, I think it's a possibility that we'll avoid disaster, but we've all got to chip in and work hard to get to that point.
Mark J. Palmer, the Associate Director of the International Marine Mammal Project of the Earth Island Institute. How can folks get a hold of you and your work directly? Would it be through the Earth Island Institute?
Yeah, they can contact us. We're at the David Brower Center, the new Brower Center in Berkeley.
Okay.
which and Dave was the founder of Earth Island Institute, and we're based there. They can contact me through our website as well, savejapandolphins.org.
Okay.
And we urge people to go there, again, to take action. There's a number of action steps people can take in order to get word out to President Obama, asking him to go to the Japan leaders and ask them to stop whaling and stop the killing of dolphins, the Japan ambassador to the United States, and various other, I mentioned the World Association of Zoos and Aquariums as well, the WASA. So there are steps people can take on that website, savejapandolphins.org, and help get in touch with Earth Island in Berkeley to stop the killing of dolphins and whales.
All right. Mark Palmer, I want to thank you for your time today. And let's please stay in touch and keep up the great work.
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Mark Palmer, the movie The Cove. You can just Google it online, see what's going on with it. I'll be right back with another segment of Shedding Light. Tuesdays around here, some of the greatest world music ever played, Decca with At the Cafe Bohemia, every Tuesday from 6 to 9. Check that out. Well, there's trouble everywhere, ladies and gentlemen, and the Bay Area is no exception. As a matter of fact, Berkeley and the entire UC system, that would be the University of California system, all the colleges owned by the state of California are under siege right now. The students have been told their fees are going to be raised because the state is a